kind of the main teaching this morning, a couple of things to think about. Think about what a treasure is. What are those things in your life that you treasure? Could be a possession. Maybe it's an old antique. Maybe it's a relationship. You have a relationship with somebody that you absolutely treasure. Your spouse, your son or your daughter, brother or sister, a longtime friend. Those things in our life that we just treasure. The second part to that is, how do you view treasures in your life? Jesus ought to be one of our greatest treasures, or the greatest treasure in our life. And sometimes I really wonder if we view him that way. Do we really view our relationship with Jesus as this deep, rich treasure that it ought to be? And then think about this. What does it mean for Jesus to be a treasure in your life? What does that look like for you? What does that mean? And how do we live in light of this? If we say Jesus is a treasure in our lives, how does that affect the way that we live and the things that we do? Over the past few weeks, we've discussed how wisdom can be obtained just simply by asking God for it. But once we ask God, we've talked about there has to be a process of how we live in faith in order to receive the wisdom. What an incredible truth it is to realize that Jesus Christ himself is our treasure and provider of our wisdom. This is our hope in the person in whom we place our faith. This is week number 3 now in our series, Fool's Gold. Last week we discussed how we need to dive in a little deeper, to dig in a little deeper, to put in the work, if you will, if we are to find the wisdom that is being revealed to us. Because I believe that as we grow and mature, God is revealing wisdom to us if we're willing to do the work to see it or to find it. Those things are treasures in our life. And those things that are treasures in our life, I should say, we're willing to sacrifice for, right? I mean, if you have this thing that is a treasure or a relationship, you're willing to invest in it. You're willing to sacrifice for it. You're willing to work for it. If you have maybe you have an old antique automobile, and you think about the care that you put into that, it's your treasure, and the way you take care of it, and the way you clean it and wash it and polish it and are very careful on the days that you will even take it out of the garage, right? Because you know, you sacrifice for it. You put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears and energy into it because it is a treasure. And today I want to talk about how we view our wisdom as the precious treasure that it is. You ever think about wisdom that way? Wisdom is a treasure. And it's a treasure that sometimes people spend a lifetime searching for and some never really acquire it. It's so important because once we discover how important something is, as I said, we're willing to work a little harder for it usually. When you find the value in something, you're able or you're willing to work a little harder towards it or for it. The Bible sheds some light on where this mysterious treasure is hidden. And you're thinking, mysterious treasure? Well, that's what God's Word says, and we're going to get to that in just a second. Job made it clear that God holds our wisdom. We talked about it in that week one. But Paul tells us more specifically how to find wisdom in Jesus Christ. Christ is our Savior and our Redeemer, and this morning we're going to find that He is the treasure of our wisdom. Our reading this morning comes from Colossians chapter 2 and verses 2 through 7. And this is what it says: "My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in the spirit and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith is in Christ. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 through 7. Within this passage, there seems to be three results when we come to find our treasure. And the first is mentioned right away in verse 2 when Paul says there is a desire, his desire is to see people encouraged in heart and united in love. That's Paul's hope, is that people are encouraged in heart and united in love. See, we find encouragement knowing Christ is where the treasure of wisdom can be found. That should be an encouragement to us. The truth is, there are many things that are a discouragement to us, right? And we don't have to look very far to be discouraged. We've talked about it this morning. We don't have to look very far. Just turn on the news for 5 minutes, open up social media for 5 minutes, and you will find plenty to be discouraged about, and oftentimes little to be encouraged about. We don't have to look very far. The culture in which Paul was writing wasn't so different, though. See, we think that we are living in times that nobody's ever lived in, right? Nobody's ever faced persecution. Nobody's ever lived in such discouraging times as we do. That's simply not true. At the time Paul wrote this, he was living in a discouraging time as well. He was writing in a broken world filled with broken people, just like we find ourselves in right now. And because of this, evil was everywhere. As we see evil everywhere today, it was no different. But thankfully, Christ offers us some encouragement. But then Paul makes another statement related to Christ that seems kind of, I don't know, it just seems different. He says he desires people to be encouraged and to be united by strong ties of love. United by the love doesn't exactly describe the current state that we find ourselves in today, does it? He desires us to be united in love, but it seems like right now we are divided in hate. It seems like we are divided, not united. We are hating one another and not loving one another. I believe Paul is trying to help us understand how our lives are meant to be intertwined, though. He says his hope is that we are united in love. His desire for us is for that we understand that our lives were meant to be intertwined. Our lives were meant to be connected. We were meant to live in community. When it comes to finding wisdom in Jesus Christ, God often will include others in our story, right? God will oftentimes bring those alongside us, depending on the circumstances that we're going through. He will bring people in our life that have already been through it, that have already experienced it, to help be a source of wisdom. And that's why it's so important that we live in community with each other. That's why it's so important that we gather as the body of Christ. That's why it's so important that we gather and not just tune in virtually. Because you can't be a source of wisdom and encouragement for me if you're sitting in your family room. And I can't be a source of wisdom and encouragement for you if I can't come alongside you because you're in your living room. That's why Scripture tells us that we are not to neglect the meeting of one another, as some are in the habit of doing. This is what makes the gathering or assembling of people so important to the church. aside from the Sunday morning gatherings like today. It's important to have a community of believers around you. It's so important. Maybe this is a group of men or women you spend time with consistently who encourage you and who challenge you, who maybe even hold you accountable, who maybe even convict you of maybe some choices that you are making. You know, maybe the encouragement is they're encouraging you to do better, right? It's important. Earlier this week, I spent a couple of days with my ministry leadership group. I meet with them every month, but every year in August, we get together for a couple of days, and we just spend time together. We play games, we play cards, we sit around the fire. It's a great time just to be together, right? Just to be living in community, just to be connected. You know, I placed a huge value on gathering with this group of men, and I've been doing it for now for about 10 years, every single month. The key to a strong, united community, as Paul suggests, is love. As Paul points out here, Jesus himself even talks about this concept in John 13:35, and this is what he says in John 13:35. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you what? If you love one another. You want people to know that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ? Just get along. Just love one another. And people will know. Because there's so many people not getting along that when you do love one another, you stand out, right? You're like, wow, that's like a foreign concept. But that's how people will know that we are disciples, if we love one another. The world is searching for some of the same things we are. The things that you're searching for are the same things that the world is searching for. If we are seeking to love one another, that's when Jesus Christ will be best put on display through our lives. When we are loving one another, you don't even have to say a word. All you have to do is love one another. And in that moment, that's when Jesus Christ is most fully on display in your life. I absolutely believe that. And together, we as the body of Christ can grow in wisdom when we are living our lives that way. Another principle that I find here is this whole idea of having complete confidence. Think about the things that you really have complete confidence in. I mean, fully complete confidence. And I bet you if you're being honest, the list is pretty short. Because what can we really have full confidence in? That means trusting something so much because you know there is almost no chance at all that it will let you down. There's almost no chance that it will fail you. That's what it means to have complete confidence. So if we're really being honest, that list is probably pretty short. But after Paul talks about encouragement and being united together in love, he mentions this idea of confidence. He says, I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is in Christ himself. Paul wants us to have complete confidence in God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. It's interesting that Paul says we should have confidence in a mysterious plan. I mean, I don't know about you, but I find to be more confident in things that are more clear, that are more laid out, that have a better plan, that are, you know what I mean, like that are clearly laid out in front of me. I have more confidence in those things than I do in mysteries. Okay? But Paul is talking about this mysterious plan that we ought to have confidence in. It's easy to be confident in something that's very clear and easy for us to see, but it's a whole different story when we seek to have confidence in something mysterious. If something is mysterious, it's kind of like it doesn't make sense, or it's not easy to see, or we don't know where it's going to go next. It's like a mystery, like we don't know what the next day is going to bring. You know, people say life is like a mystery, right, some days. And the Apostle Paul is saying, we need to have complete confidence in this mysterious plan. I mean, to be intrigued by something mysterious would make sense. I mean, we might find a mystery to be intriguing, but not necessarily to be completely confident in, I wouldn't think. Yet, that's the instruction that Paul gives us in this text. Now, I've always been kind of a fan of mystery shows. Way back when I was younger, it was Matlock. I used to love watching Matlock. He was like, when I was younger, he was like the big deal, you know. I loved, because you just never knew where the show was going to go, right? It was like this mystery. You never know till the end who committed the crime. They always figured it out, or Matlock always did. And then now more recently, we have like CSI, right? Crime Scene Investigation, those shows that are all built around mysteries, and we never really know till the end who committed the crime. And then CSI really isn't a thing so much. Now it's like CIS or NCIS, right? That's kind of the new thing. And although I do enjoy watching them, I certainly wouldn't say that I have complete confidence in them. With all the twists and turns in an hour-long show, I'm never very confident that I know who committed the crime. But yet, I'm instructed in this text to have complete confidence in this mysterious plan. Many people in our world today are searching for wisdom as if they were in a mystery. They don't know exactly where to turn, so they're trying different avenues to find it. They're looking in different areas, turning over a new rock every day, entering into a new relationship, reading a new book, looking here, looking there to find this mystery that is wisdom, and they continue to come up short. But Paul says we have confidence because God's mysterious plan in some form or fashion has been revealed to us in Christ Jesus. We can be confident in this plan because it's been revealed to us in Jesus Christ. When Jesus came to earth, he showed us what our Heavenly Father was like. And he even says this in 1 John 14:9. So let me back up just a second. You want to know what God is like? Just read about Jesus. You want to know how God loves? Just look the way that Jesus loved. You want to know the ways that God wants to serve? Just look at the way that Jesus served. You want to know the way that God dealt with sinners and that sort of thing? Just look at the way that Jesus dealt with sinners. If you want to know what God is like, just read what Jesus is like. And this is what it says in John 14:9. Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father?" Philip was obviously questioning Jesus, saying, "Jesus, show us the Father." And Jesus saying, "You don't need to see the Father. You've seen me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen my heart, you've seen the heart of my Father. If you know what I'm like, you know what God is like." In the Old Testament, many were asking, "What is God's plan?" I mean, I think the Israelites, they were certainly asking, what is God's plan here? I mean, we've been wandering for a long time. What is God's plan? As many were asking. And sometimes I think we find ourselves in that moment right now. We see these things and we're asking ourselves, what on earth is God's plan? Because if we're being honest, if we look at the situations, it's hard to see that that's part of God's plan, right? We trust that it is, but it's hard to comprehend that it is. But when Christ came onto the scene in the New Testament, many were able to recognize what was prophesied about long before. Even though we haven't seen Jesus face to face while he was on earth, we have confidence knowing the Word of God provides us with true, accurate accounts of his life in ministry. We can take it to the bank. We can know that it's true and we can have complete confidence in it. Since we can be encouraged and united together in love, there it is again, united together in love and confident in who Jesus Christ is and what he holds, what should be our response? How do we respond to that? If we can be encouraged, united together in love, confident in who Jesus is, confident in what he holds, how should we respond? Well, it only seems logical that we'd want to follow a guy like that. At the end of our passage in Colossians, Paul says these words boldly, Just as you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Must continue to follow him. Now, I would say that many in this room this morning, if not all, are saved. Most or all have a relationship with Jesus Christ, have accepted Jesus as our personal Savior. The question is, though, are we actively following him? We can find encouragement and be united together as a community where we know Christ for who he is. We can be confident in who he is. And if we follow him, we will be following the one who holds all wisdom and knowledge and understanding. If we follow Jesus, we'll be following the one who holds all the wisdom and knowledge. So what is currently keeping us from following him? What is currently keeping us from following him? Fully following him. Maybe it's the past that's getting in the way. Maybe it's your past that's keeping you from fully following Jesus. You can't get past some of the things you've done, some of the things you've seen, some of the things you've been involved with, and you just can't get past it, and it's keeping you from fully following him. What is it in your life? This thing that you thought you had dealt with, but maybe you really didn't deal with, because now all of a sudden it's got your attention again. You thought you moved past it. Maybe it's a series of unhealthy relationships that are keeping you from following Jesus fully. Unhealthy friendships that are holding you back. These have rubbed off on you more than you intended them to, and now you don't know if you'll ever get back to the closeness that you once had with Jesus. For many, it's simply a busy life of distractions. For many, we're simply fully not following Jesus just because we're so busy with so many other distractions. They are keeping us from fully following him. It's not necessarily that you're making poor choices in along the way, just that we failed to make the most important choice. It's not that your day-to-day choices are poor, it's just that you haven't made the choice to fully follow the Lord, so you've failed to make the most important choice. Whatever trade or sacrifice you need to make today to fully follow Jesus is worth it. That's what you need to know. Regardless of the sacrifice that needs to be made, regardless of whatever you need to trade to fully follow Jesus, it is worth it. Whatever you have to do or whatever you have to cut off today to fully follow Jesus, it's worth it. Christ is worth trading it all for, and the amazing part is that in return you will find the riches of wisdom and knowledge, among other great things. That is what we find when we deal with the things that are keeping us from fully following Jesus. When we cut them off, when we deal with them, when we get rid of them, the distractions, the relationships, the past, whatever it is, when we cut those things off and we deal with them and we fully follow Jesus, we receive the riches of wisdom and knowledge. But the flip side is true too. We can't search for wisdom. We can't desire for wisdom and knowledge and understanding, yet not fully follow Jesus. It doesn't work that way. Let me close with this. The Gospels, in the Gospels, Jesus often spoke of parables, in parables, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, full of parables, great parables. And one such parable is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 13. It's the parable of the hidden treasure. The parable of the hidden treasure, and it goes like this. The kingdom of heaven, and this is John chapter 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went out and sold all he had and bought that field. He sold all he had and bought that field. He hid the treasure in a field. And then he sold all that he had to buy that field. Jesus tells us the same thing. I have this treasure of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. I have it right here for you. What are you going to sacrifice? What are you going to trade? What are you going to sell for to obtain it? To walk with me to obtain this knowledge and wisdom and understanding. See, the point is, when the man found the treasure, he was willing to sell everything in order to have the treasure in his possession forever. To me, that is a powerful picture of the value of the kingdom and the willingness to trade everything in order to have it. But going back to our passage in Colossians, we remember God's mysterious plan is actually Christ Jesus himself. That's the mysterious plan that the writer was talking about. The mysterious plan was Jesus Christ himself. In his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul says, all the promises of God find their yes in him. Find their yes in him. That's why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. All the promises of God find their yes in Christ. All wisdom and knowledge and understanding find their home in Jesus Christ. For all the earthly treasure you could amass during one lifetime will never compare to the treasure that is in Christ Jesus. And so this reality begs this question. Do you have him? Have you fully committed to him? Are you fully following him? Or let me ask it a different way. How much of you does Jesus have? Now, I ask you first if you have Jesus. Maybe the better question is, how much of you does Jesus have? Does he have just a little bit of you? Does he have this much of you? Does he have half of you? Or does he fully have you? Obviously, that's the question, a question that only you can answer. Or maybe you and God the Father can answer that together. Maybe you can figure that out together. Maybe that's a question you ask this week and say, Lord, am I giving you all of me? I'm really not sure. I feel like I am. Am I holding something back? Because I desire to have this wisdom, but I feel like I'm not quite there. I don't fully have it. This plan is still a little mysterious to me. Ask God, maybe I'm not fully living my life for him. Before we pray this morning to close the message, I want to read the words of Hebrews 4:16. And this is what it says. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. To help us in our time of need. This morning, I want us to be able to approach the throne with confidence. Wisdom has been described this morning as a treasure. God's word describes wisdom as a treasure. Wisdom should be a treasure that we desire to have. Unfortunately, wisdom is a treasure that is hidden from many. It's a treasure that is hidden from many. I spend a lifetime searching for it, but it remains hidden. It doesn't have to be that way, though. It doesn't have to be that way. Wisdom is a treasure, and it is available to us. It is available to us, but we have to do the work. Like anything else in life, right? You have to do the work. You have to put in the time. You have to put in the sacrifice to achieve it. Treasure is worth sacrificing for. If you want to be the best, you got to work hard for it. You got to sacrifice for it. If you want to be the best athlete, you got to do the training. You want to be the best musician, you got to do the training. You got to put in the work. You can be a good athlete without doing the work. You can be a good musician without doing the work. But if you want to be the best, if you want to have it as a treasure, you need it to do the work. And I think that's what Paul is suggesting, that we can have complete confidence in this mysterious plan that is Jesus Christ. And we can have this confident assurance of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. But we have to do the work. So if you feel like you need wisdom this morning, ask God. And He will give it. But He doesn't just say, here. You have to ask God, and then you have to do the work, and you have to go through the process, and you have to be devoted and committed, and then you can receive it. Let's pray. Lord, You are a good, good Father. Lord, we don't have to look any further than Jesus Christ to know who You are. Lord, we thank You that You desire to give us this wisdom. We thank You that this wisdom can be and is a treasure to behold. Lord, we thank You for the words of Paul this morning and a reminder that we can have complete confidence in it. There are very few things in this life that we can have complete confidence in, but we can have confidence in it if we're willing to do the work. Lord, I pray that You would encourage us this morning and show us the ways in which we need and where we need to do the work. Which parts are we holding back? Which things need to be cut off? What are those things that we need to deal with that will help us fully follow You so that we can gain this wisdom and knowledge and understanding that we so desperately desire? Lord, again, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that it encourages us. We thank You that it teaches us. We thank You that it corrects us. We thank You that it instructs us. And Lord, this morning, I pray that as we leave from this place, we might leave asking some serious questions of ourselves. And the one in particular is that we would leave asking You, Lord, You have all of me. Do You have all of me? Lord, am I holding something back from You? And not only having the courage to ask the question, but then having the courage to let it go when You reveal to us which areas of our life that we're holding back so that we can receive the full measure of Your wisdom and understanding. We ask all these things in Your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, that was a very good message. I really like that what you said. How much of You does Jesus have? And I just kept thinking. I mean, having the confidence now to follow God's plan, to listen to what He's telling you, and to do the sacrifice, to do the work. That's so important, because I thought about this. I was like, when that time finally comes and you have to stand on the stage before God, with God giving you His audience, how confident are you going to be then? I don't know how confident I could say I'm going to be right now, but great, very great sermon, Dan. Thank you very much. Okay, so please stand if you're able. Thank you.